This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, Colorado considers legalizing mushrooms. Twitter is full of fakes. And Jordan Peele. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Show lined up for you tonight. The midterms are getting people high. Sean Penn just won the war in Ukraine, and thanks to Elon Musk, now you can be Elon Musk. Plus, the one and only Jordan Peele is joining us on the show, everybody. So let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. All right, people, I'm gonna be honest. With all the news happening right now, I don't think we have enough space in today's show. And I tried everything, I promise you. I even put the news in the laundry, hoping it would shrink, but then it just came out cleaner and smelling like lavender, and we still don't have enough time for it all. Fortunately, not enough time is just enough time for a segment we call Ain't Nobody Got Time For That. Let's kick things off with the midterm elections. A night so disappointing for Republicans, Mitch McConnell is flying his jowls at half-mast. As of right now, there are several big races that are still too close to call. For instance, will Republican Adam Laxalt hold onto his lead in the Nevada Senate race? Will Lauren Boebert squeak one out in Colorado? Will election denier Carrie Lake accept the results if she loses the Arizona governor's race? Or will she try to hang whoever Arizona's Mike Pence is? Nobody knows. And one reason it's so hard to predict the results is that Americans cast ballots in so many different ways. And they all come in differently and separately, right? Right? Democrats tend to vote early by mail or Dropbox. Republicans show up on election day or use military ballots. And Herschel Walker votes the way he fathers his children, absentee. But there is one unfinished race that's not all that close, and it's a real trip.
We are still watching Proposition 122, which appears likely to pass, and if it does, Colorado would essentially legalize psychedelic mushrooms. Passing the proposition would decriminalize personal possession right away, and then it would allow licensed medical facilities to administer the natural medicine starting in 2024.
Yeah, that's right. After being one of the first states to legalize marijuana, Colorado is now one of the first states to legalize mushrooms. And I think it's great. I think it is. Yeah, because of creating instead of creating a drug underworld, Colorado's bringing everything out into the open, you know? You can legalize it, you can regulate it. It's like those parents who give their kids wine with dinner, you know? And it's like, yeah, I'd rather they be drunk in front of me because it's safer. And also it's funny to watch them bumping into things. Go, look at you, Tyler. And I know right now there's some people seeing this law going into effect and they're panicking. They're like, shrooms are gonna be legal? What? And I'm like, but hey, just relax, relax. Breathe. You're gonna be just fine. Just drink more water and listen to some Enya, okay? Enya. 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 It's a weird name. I'm freaking out again. But personally, I'm all for drug laws getting less restrictive. And if they do officially legalize shrooms, I'm also excited for their next ballot measure. Why are my hands so big? Now, if we had more time, we could talk about whether the acceptance of recreational drug use can lead to increased understanding of the therapeutic value of psychedelics, or how weird it is that drugs are like the one illegal thing we get to vote on to make legal. You know, like, why don't we legalize jaywalking, or even better, jaydriving? Why do the pedestrians have the sidewalks all to themselves, huh? But we don't have the time for any of that, because while the US is abandoning the war on drugs, Ukraine is still fighting its war with Russia, and its leader just got some really strange military assistance.
The actor Sean Penn, most often doing the unpredictable, he did it again, this time, loaning his Oscar to the president of Ukraine. But it comes with a condition. Video posted online shows Penn handing the Oscar to Ukrainian President Zelensky. He said Zelensky can keep it until Ukraine wins the war against Russia. Penn has visited Ukraine several times since the fighting began last February.
If I know this is here with you, then I'll feel better and stronger for the fight.
So great honor, but until we win.
When you win, bring it back to Malibu.
Great.
Yes.
Great. Okay.
I don't even know how to process this information. Am I on mushrooms? Is it happening already? I don't get it. How does the Oscar help Zelensky fight the war? Is he supposed to use it as a weapon? I mean, if that's the case, at least give him two so he can use them like nunchucks, like on a chain, you know? And it would be strange enough if he just gave him an Oscar to help win the war, but he wants Zelensky to return it? That was the weird part for me. He's like, make sure you bring this back to me. That's a lot of responsibility. The man is already running a war against Russia. Now he's got to make sure that nothing happens to Sean Penn's Oscar. It's like air raid sirens are going off. They're like, quickly, sir, quickly, everyone get to the bunker. He's like, I'm coming. I just need to find Sean Penn's Oscar. He needs it back. He needs it back. The only way I think this could work is if Zelensky gave the Oscar to Putin, and then while Putin gave the acceptance speech, the music just played him off, and then he had to leave Ukraine. Oh, wait, I wasn't finished. Okay, good night, goodbye, everybody. I actually hope that Zelensky is a fan of Sean Penn's movies. Because we don't know what else happened there. It might have gotten really awkward. You know? Sean Penn is like, here, I want you to have my best actor Oscar for Milk. Yes, yes, one of my favorite film. I remember watching it and thinking, wow, that is a lot of milk. No way you can drink all that milk. Powerful story. Now, if we had more time, we could talk about the other major development in the war, which is that Russia was just forced into another embarrassing retreat from a major Ukrainian city, probably because they heard Ukraine has Sean Penn's Oscar now. But we don't have the time for that, because right now, the one thing being mismanaged worse than Putin's war is Elon Musk's websites.
Well, Twitter has officially debuted its verified blue check marks, and the feature is already causing a lot of confusion. Subscribers who pay the $8 monthly fee are now entitled to some additional perks, namely the blue check mark previously reserved for verified accounts. The problem is some of those users are using their newly acquired verification to impersonate celebrities and other public figures.
Someone pretending to be LeBron James tweeted, I am officially requesting a trade from the Lakers. An account that appeared to be from the pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly announced that all insulin would now be free. Meanwhile, a user impersonating George W. Bush declared, I miss killing Iraqis. And a fake account for Nintendo simply tweeted a picture of Mario giving the finger.
Oh no! Because anyone can buy verification, they're now impersonating famous people. Who could have seen this coming? What? Everyone? Wow! Where were you guys $44 billion ago? Look, I'm gonna be honest and I'm gonna be blunt here. Elon Musk is running Twitter into the ground. And it's the best Twitter's ever been. Are you kidding me? Huh? Fake LeBron leaving LA, Mario flipping the bird, huh? George Bush telling us how he really feels. The thing is an absolute train wreck, and I'm here for it. reason we know that that wasn't the real Mario was because Mario would never flip someone the bird. He's Italian. Come on. Yeah, he'd probably do this, right? Or this. He's like, hey, Koopa, tell your mother I said hello, huh? But who knows? Who knows? Maybe all of this verified, real, fake people on Twitter chaos is actually part of Elon's plan. Yeah, maybe this is what he's doing on purpose. Soon no one will know a real account from a fake account. And then he'll be like, guys, did you see someone impersonated me and spent $44 billion on Twitter? That was crazy. Well, I'm just gonna take my money and be on my way. Okay, bye-bye now, bye-bye. Now, if we had the time, we could discuss how this verified fiasco isn't just hurting Twitter, it's also damaging Tesla's stock. Or we could definitely talk about how Rihanna just said on Twitter that she wanted me to perform with her at the Super Bowl. And no, it's not a fake account because she even asked for my social security number. But we don't have the time for any of that because while Twitter is faking celebrities, a real celebrity is in trouble for faking his life.
Vogue is suing rappers Drake and 21 Savage for using a fake cover story to promote their new album, Her Loss.
So back in October, Drake shared what appeared to be a Vogue magazine cover featuring himself and 21 Savage with the caption, "Me and my brother on the newsstand tomorrow," thanking Vogue editors for their support. Well, apparently they did not like this because the publishers, they filed a complaint in federal court this week saying the stunt was infringement of the company's trademark. So far, no comment on the lawsuit from Drake or 21 Savage.
Yeah. That's right. Vogue is suing Drake and 21 Savage for $4 million for photoshopping themselves onto the cover of the magazine. Which, to be honest, I don't know if Vogue has a case here. You can clearly tell that this was a fake cover. I mean, Vogue lighting black people properly? This is clearly not real. We know it's parody. But the beef is very real. The biggest name in magazines is going up against the biggest name in hip-hop. That's no joke. This hasn't happened since Tupac got shot by Reader's Digest. That shit was no game. Now, just for context, this Vogue cover wasn't the only fake promotion Drake and 21 Savage have been doing, right? He also released a fake interview with Howard Stern, a fake SNL performance, a fake appearance on NPR, like Tiny Desk, which is a little weird because he's Drake. He doesn't have to fake any of these things, you know? It's so weird to me. It's like, Drake, if you want to be on NPR, I'm pretty sure you can be on NPR. This would be like Obama photoshopping himself at a Buffalo Wild Wings, you know? It's just like, oh, look, Michelle, it almost looks like I was actually there. How cool would that be? But man, you're the president. You can go to a Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, if we had the time, we could talk about how Vogue has inadvertently given Drake and 21 Savage way more than $4 million worth of publicity by suing them, making this the most successful marketing campaign ever for their brand. But we don't have time to talk about that because we have some brands who would like to tell you about some very real products they'd like to sell you. We'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to the Today Show. Tomorrow, is Veterans Day in America. And to commemorate it, we look at a group of veterans who sometimes get looked over in another edition of Ronnie Chang Teaches You About Asians.
Hello, class. Thanks for coming. Although you really had no choice, since if you don't come to school in America, your parents get arrested. Today, we're gonna learn about some of the great Asian veterans in U.S. history. Because Asians have served in the U.S. military for almost as long as America has fought in wars, which is basically the whole time. America loves war so much, it wants to have its babies and then send those babies to go fight in the next war. Anyway, first up is Augustine Feliciano, who fought in the War of 1812, which happened in... The teacher's guide doesn't actually say, so nice going, morons. Feliciano was the first Filipino to serve in the U.S. Navy. But before he sailed with the Navy, he sailed with pirates. That's right, American history has Asian veterans and Asian pirates. I'm blowing your freaking mind today. What's next? Asian werewolves? No, that's beneath us. Let's fast forward to America's Civil War. The first one, not the one currently happening every day in your Twitter feed. The Civil War is where Chinese-American soldiers began to make their mark. Of the roughly 200 Chinese-Americans living in the eastern U.S. at the time, 58 of them served in the war. That's 58 out of 200. Can you calculate the percentage from that number? It's easy. You just cross out the zeros, you move the decimal point over, you flip the whole thing, you multiply by 100, and you pull out your phone and use a calculator. Math is easy, especially for me, a teacher. One of the most distinguished Chinese Civil War vets was Joseph Pierce. He rose in the ranks to corporal, the highest rank of any Chinese American in the Union Army, which I can also relate to because I am the highest ranking Asian at The Daily Show. Though sadly, I do not have as many confirmed kills. And yeah, there were white soldiers in the 1800s who were taking orders from an Asian guy because those guys were hashtag allies. And they didn't even need to brag about it on Instagram. All right, Julia, we get it. You taught your dog Cantonese. But not every veteran got what they deserve. Edward De Cahota was a Chinese immigrant adopted by an American ship captain who fought in the Civil War and then served for another 26 years. But get this, America still refused to make him a citizen. Can you believe that? I mean, this guy risked his life in the military for almost 30 years. Most citizens never do anything close to that. They automatically get citizenship just by getting pooped out of their mom's butt. That's right, I threw in some sex ed for free. You're welcome. Let's move on to World War I and one of its greatest Asian American heroes, Lau Sing Kee. He was a runner, which means he ran messages to the front line all while dodging gunfire and flamethrowers. That's right, this guy risked his life to send messages. I hope this makes you grateful for texting. In fact, I wish this was still how we had to send messages. You probably think twice if you had to run across a battlefield to give someone a picture of your dick. Now, let's turn to World War II. We saw Asian American heroes like Daniel Inoue, who fought in the 442nd Regiment, a unit made up completely of soldiers of Japanese descent and one of the most decorated regiments in military history. During a combat mission in France, Inoue escaped death when a bullet to his chest was blocked by two silver dollars. Try doing that with Bitcoin, you crypto bitches. Daniel Inoue is why I carry two silver dollars in my breast pocket at all times. Wait, where are they? Oh, yeah, I got that vending machine Coke. Okay, nobody shoot me until I can get to the bullion exchange. Even after his military service, Inoue went on to serve 50 years in Congress. So congrats to him on finding the only job worse than combat. But maybe the biggest Asian badass to come out of World War II was Captain Nieves Fernandez, a Filipino school teacher who became a guerrilla warfare fighter and led a squadron that killed over 200 Japanese soldiers. You hear that, class? School teachers can become guerrilla assassins. Do not mess with us! Ow, goddamn, it's sharp. The last veteran we're gonna learn about today is a living legend. And not how that term is usually used, like if your friend Jake wins a stupid flip cup tournament. I mean an actual legend. Tammy Duckworth. She served as a Black Hawk helicopter pilot in Iraq until 2004, when her aircraft was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. She lost her legs and partial use of her right arm. For her sacrifice, she was honored with a Purple Heart. I don't know why it's purple. I guess whoever designed it was a huge Prince fan. But her service didn't end with the military. She went on to become the first Thai American woman and disabled woman elected to Congress. She also became the first woman to bring a baby onto the Senate floor. Although it definitely wasn't the first diaper. Those dudes are old as shit. So class, in conclusion, from now on, when you think of Asians in American history, don't just think of railroads and that guy from Breakfast at Tiffany's who isn't actually Asian. Think of Tammy Duckworth, Lau Sing Ki, and Nieves Fernandez, who Kill Billed half an army. Speaking of which, I gotta go tend to this neck wound. Knowing how cheap these school districts are, I probably have lead poisoning. Class dismissed.
Thank you so much for that, Ronnie. All right, stay tuned, because when we come back, the one and only Jordan Peele will be joining me right here on the show. You don't want to miss it.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an Academy Award winner who created the hit films Get Out, Us, and most recently, Nope. He's here to talk about his new Spotify original audio horror series called Quiet Part Loud. Please welcome Jordan Peele.
That feels good. That feels absolutely wonderful.
Feels appropriate.
Yeah. You think so?
Feels appropriate. That's what we're gonna do. It's just gonna be half an hour of applause for you.
That's overwhelming.
You
that's
know?
An overwhelming that's, response.
That's what you deserve. That's how you make people
that's
feel.
That's what you deserve.
No, that's what you deserve, my friend.
Can I
tell you?
I mean this honestly. I was scrolling on my TV the other day, and you know, I was bouncing around everything between like YouTube and then going to Netflix and then bouncing like to different apps and watching. It's amazing to see the impact that you have had on the culture. You know, obviously, no, really, with Key and Peele, some of the funniest moments and ideas still existing on TikTok, kids loving them today. And then you move into like what you did with Keanu, and then the new range of movies. I do want to understand this.
Okay.
You're one of the funniest people out there. You were for a very long time putting out some of the funniest content, and now it's just like scary shit. Is this for balance? What happened?
Is it weird that I think it's funny? Is it? I think the comedy part of my career is still going. I think it's still active.
Wow.
And part of that, you know, I talk about it as sort of like the difference between comedy and horror is the music. And it really does, it does feel like that. You know, when we...
I'm sorry. Now I'm picturing the scene in Get Out where the guy's running, like, you know, he's running at the camera and he's like head on, but now I'm picturing like...
I mean... Just like Benny Hill, and it's funny.
It's funny.
And it's very funny. And I could have done that. I was at the finish line with that film. I could have gone either way.
It would have been a very different film.
But thank you for saying that. I love comedy. It became very complex.
Right.
Somehow making comedy in this world, as it is complex, I think, making anything or getting anything accomplished in this world.
It feels like you were the only person who wasn't surprised about the filmmaker you would turn into, you know? And I think it's because you came from this world of sketch, and sketch always seems unplanned and unprepared. It seems off the cuff, but there's so much work that goes into it. And now you've turned into, or rather you've been revealed to us as this filmmaker. Like, when I was watching Nope, you're sitting in that movie theater. Nobody knows what's gonna happen, why it's gonna happen, how it's gonna happen. You successfully got people to not spoil any of the plot points. Mm. I don't know how you did that. Because mm. people who saw, they're like, have you seen Nope? I was like, no, I haven't. How is it? They're like, ooh. Mm.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But you create a feeling.
Thank you. Well, I just have this love of my audience, and I think what my audience has been telling me and responding to
right.
is that very thing is something that they love. And that they're going to show up for it.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, when I wrote Get Out, I didn't even know if they would let me direct it.
For
I didn't.
Real?
Yeah, that's how much has changed in my life. You know, I was trying to push this thing, and so I luckily found a wonderful home and wonderful producers for it. But when I made Nope. Then I was like, okay, now hold on a second. They're gonna let me direct a film, you know. They're gonna let me direct a big movie,
right?
And so there's a responsibility there.
Is there a pressure? Do you ever like feel the weight of your own pressure? Because Get Out is one of the greatest movies that has ever been made. From that moment onwards, everyone is expecting you to create the greatest movie ever made. Mm. There's always going to be that pressure. There's always going to be the criticism. There's always going to be the critics. Do you feel that as well, or do you find yourself just making what you want to make?
Well, you know, a lot of people hate Get Out. And there's a certain...
Wait, who are these people?
Well, they're out there.
Huh.
They are out there.
Oh, wow, okay.
I still get hate from that era. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like the agency that it brought me and other people. I truly feel that. And so, and in Key and Peele as well, you know, you realize people are going to respond, but
yes.
there's always going to be people who don't respond, and that's okay. That's part of the adventure of doing something risky, doing something you're not supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
that you're going to be pissing people off, but that's okay.
I wonder if some people are pissed off at what you illuminate in the stories that you tell, because it's one thing to create a horror movie. It's one thing to create thrill and suspense. Mm. It's another thing to weave into that story everything that we're experiencing in real life. You know, there are themes of race. There are themes of gender. There are themes of, like, everything is encapsulated in a story. It's like you went and went, what if there's racism and what if there's sexism and what if there's also a monster? Which seems, you know?
Which is the very much the real world. It's,
yeah.
Once again, a documentary, but no. this one wanted to be about this, you know, this idea that was sort of forming in my head that there's mm-hmm. some people, there are some things in this world that are these bad miracles. These are these things that are so entertaining that that we're blinded to the danger of them.
Wow.
And so I wanted to make a film about the human response to these things and how we interact with it and how we will chase it off a cliff.
Wow. You do that with everything, though, because when they told me you had a podcast, I thought you were going to be interviewing people. I thought it was going to be a conversation. They were like, no, he made a horror podcast. So I was like, well, but that's not possible. And then they sent it to me, and I was like, oh, this is terrifying. Because I just have to use my ears.
This was something, you know, all of us at Monkey Paw Productions were very excited about, like, trying to make the scariest horror podcast of all time. And
do you know what people normally use podcasts for? Are you familiar?
Sort of like, you're driving.
You're on, like, a drive, you know?
Yeah.
Some people play podcasts to go to sleep.
I've heard of
this. And then this slides into your playlist.
You know, and this is something we talk about in horror all the time, which is this idea that it's the things you don't see that are the scariest.
It is terrifying because you've created this podcast that is essentially, it sounds real. It sounds like an actual conspiracy theorist, and we're following him and his journey of creating this radio show that sort of sets in a pre-Trump world, and he's talking about everything that's happening in, he's digging into conspiracies, and it feels too real, Jordan.
This is brilliant. And Tracy Letts wonderfully plays this character, and this whole Faustian thing. It ends up being, I'm not going to give away what what is going on, there's something of as discussed, we need to. But it's a story that needs to be told in the sound medium because there is a sound element to this parasite, and it's scary.
So when you tell your stories, and this is something that I feel you've always done, whether it's in a sketch, whether it's in a movie, and now even in a podcast, it feels like you are commenting on the aspects of the world that we oftentimes take for granted or ignore because they're almost seamlessly happening to us. And you take them, you amplify them, and then it becomes a horror we can't look away from. Like, why do you think it's important for us to focus on those moments, to focus on what's happening in real life?
Well, it is. It's important for us to pay attention to the real life monsters. And I think it's important to it's important for us to feel fear as it is. You know, so much of this doom scrolling and stuff, it really is about us. The fact that fear is something we bury. Fear is something that we don't like. We don't like that feeling. We will convert it into other things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, anyway.
It sort of numbs us as we scroll, yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. Did I answer the question with that?
Well, can I just say, I've loved everything that you've created. I enjoy how original your art is. I also really appreciate, you know, how you work with the talent that you work with. I mean, Kiki Palmer, people have been loving her forever. To see her in the movie, to see what you did with her. No, obviously, Daniel, you know, we've loved them since forever. You don't just create a story, you also create stars. You know, you also give people an opportunity to shine on the screen. And I would love to know what you look for in these performers that you think will, I mean, as it does, successfully convey the feelings that you're trying to get to the people.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm trying to hitch my wagon to these moving trains, right? I'm trying to find people who are ready to do their greatest role, you know, and in that perfect place. So I'm so thankful that, you know, the Daniels and the Kikis of the world will come out and do it. But I'm also looking for somebody who is really smart enough to take over the character for me. I do the work to build this character up to a certain point, and then I need somebody to come in and become the expert. So I can ask them, how does Emerald feel? And she can answer that question. We can kind of move from there. And so, you know, I have the privilege of working with people like Daniel and like Kiki, who are just, you know, the best actors in the world.
And then we have the privilege of enjoying everything that you all create together. The privilege of having you on the show. Thank you, my friend. Absolute joy. Thank you again.
Sean Keel, everybody. We're gonna take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island?
The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island opens its gates April 20th.